Zechariah, the fourth chapter. There's a lot in this chapter of prophecy of the day that we live in, of the Lord's working among His people. I'd like to begin here in the eighth verse. Zechariah 4 and verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. My burden tonight is about the day of small things. Talking here in prophecy about the work of the Lord and what the Lord was wanting to do of a city and of His temple that had been thrown down and had been destroyed, and the work that was set about to build it again. You know, the enemy has always held in contempt the work of the Lord. The enemy has always tried to cast it as a light thing or a trivial thing or meaningless. The word despised, who hath despised, it means to hold in contempt or to count as an insignificant or a trivial thing. Who hath despised the day of small things? I'd like to get in connection with this, Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. Nehemiah 4 is also capturing a scene here of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. The enemy of the Lord, in this case, his name was Sanballat, the enemy of our souls, has always been opposed to the work of the Lord. It says here, when Sanballat had heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Making a mockery of the work of the Lord. What do you think you're doing here? You poor, pathetic, pitiful few little people up here. You think you're doing something important and you've set your hand to this and it means so much to you. That's nothing. You know, all it would take a fox to go in and to break down the wall. There's nothing to what you're trying to do. It's insignificant. It's trivial. There's nothing important to it. Trying to discourage their hearts from the work that the Lord had called them to. Trying to get them into a place that to them also it seemed insignificant and trivial. Against, I believe it was Hezekiah and the people there, and they began to speak unto the people in their own language, and he said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. If Hezekiah tries to tell you that the Lord will deliver you, don't believe him. Look at all the other gods of the world and other nations, and they haven't been able to stand. Don't allow yourself to be deceived and convinced that you're able to stand against me. You know, the enemy would like for us to surrender before the battle even starts. Would like to get us in. Lord, help us to have a vision of something greater than me or greater than this little brick that I'm laying right here. There's a cause that I'm fighting for. It may seem insignificant. It may seem sometimes trivial and maybe even not a whole lot of meaning or purpose to it. But folks, if we'll be faithful to what the Lord has called us to, He doesn't look at that as trivial or light or meaningless. The work of the Lord. I'm thinking of the time that the Lord had called the children of Israel into the Canaan land. And the first real test that they faced. Whenever they came across and prepared themselves before a city with great walled fortresses and thick, tall walls. And seemingly impenetrable, they had reported of these kind of things 40 years back. Whenever they looked at it and said, we're grasshoppers in their sight. This is something formidable. This is something fearful and something to be reckoned with. But whenever they came, a new generation for the most part, and they came in obedience and crossed over the river, and the Lord brought them to a place. Then He wanted to test them. You know, the Lord, He had told them already before that, I didn't call you because you were the most in number. I didn't call you because you were the mightiest nation there was on the face of the earth. You know, sometimes people tend to think that way. Well, I want to be where the biggest crowd is. I want to be where it seems like something is really happening. That's what I want to be a part of. That's not what the Lord was looking for. He wasn't looking to see who's the mightiest people on the earth, who has learned to do battle, and who has the most fearful army and armed forces and all of those things, and that's who I'm going to go with. That's not what the Lord needed. That's not what the Lord was looking for. I've not called you because of that. But I've set my love upon you who are smallest and fewest in number. I want to show myself in the small things, through the small things. I'm not calling for the great and the mighty. The scripture that we read there in Zechariah, if you read a little further up there, it says, not by might, nor by power. That's not what the Lord is needing or looking for. I want a vessel that's yielded, that's submitted, that I can work through. Because it's the Lord that does the work, not we ourselves. I remember a time that was trying to do the Lord's work. He called me to go to a place and work for Him. And I remember arriving, and it seems like I was facing such a battle in my spirit and my mind, and feeling discouraged and feeling incapable and thinking, I can't do this. I can't make a difference. I'm not able. And the devil was trying to get me under that, as I said, to surrender before the battle really even started. And I remember the Lord coming there as I was calling out unto Him, and the Lord inspiring me to respond to the enemy, you're right. I'm not able. But my hope is in the Lord. You know, that's whenever the enemy would come and make mockery of us. Whenever the enemy would come along and try to say, what do you think you're doing? You're so feeble and helpless, and I just laugh at you. Making a mockery. It's what Sambalat was doing here. What is it? Pathetic little few people here. They don't even know how to build. They're not masons, carpenters perhaps, and certainly not skilled in war. What do they think they're doing? But he failed to see the greatness of something that seems so small. As the people approached Jericho, can you imagine the perspective of those that were inside the city? I'm sure because the walls were there, they felt a need for the walls. I'm sure that that had been tested before. I'm sure that there had been nations and armies who had risen up against them before and had attempted to overtake the city, and here comes another one. Here comes a get word, perhaps, or the watchmen cry out, and here comes, wait a minute, what is this? This isn't some formation of armed forces here. What are these people here? And as they watched over the course of those days, and I can only imagine they probably began making mockery of it. What do you think you're doing? Marching around, not saying a thing? You're not going to do anything that way. That's not the way you bring down the walls of a city. And the day of small things. Don't despise the day of small things. What the Lord is able to work through and the way the Lord wants to work, something that to the world would seem so, so silly, so meaningless, yet the Lord wants us to put our trust in Him. You remember David, whenever David came up against Goliath, you remember Goliath's response to that? He looked at it. Here came a young boy, Goliath too, a man who was, I'm sure, accustomed to war, accustomed to battle. And they saw this young man. He came running to him, the Philistine. This was 1 Samuel 17. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. But the Lord wasn't looking for the strongest, the tallest, the most fit man. The Lord was looking for someone who was willing to put his trust in the Lord. A small thing. What is this? Who is this that you're saying? Is this really the best that you can do, Israel? This is the best that you can send up. Be careful, Goliath. Don't despise the day of small things. That rock's not very big, but it's headed your way. Think of even in our nation. Whenever our nation was barely that, just starting out, group of colonists who wanted to make their way, wanted to create a nation and didn't have the finest weapons of war, didn't have the most organization or the proper clothing and all of that even. Just a raggle-tag bunch of people who wanted to defend their homes and their families. And here come over the, as they called them, the Redcoats, marching in formation, boots shiny and polished and weapons glistening, and they're, what is this? Hiding behind the trees and running, come on and step out here and face us if you think you... They despised the small things. Interested in a battle much greater than that, much greater than what our nation might fight. The battles of our life, the enemy, I believe, would like to try to get us into a place of discouragement, to feel like it's so meaningless, it's so insignificant and so trivial. I believe the Lord wants to encourage us tonight that we not despise or we not lightly esteem His working. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 18, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness. It's not the wise things, verse 27 or 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught, that things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the things that the world would look on as being foolish, would look on as being so insignificant and so trivial. You know, I believe that it was that way with Jesus. Whenever the Pharisees and those who were of the lineage of Abraham who knew about the Messiah, they knew of the prophecies, they were looking for the time that the Messiah should come. But they expected great things. They expected what the world would call greatness. They expected what the world would consider fitting unto a king. How would a king come? And in what pomp and circumstance might a king come? And to whom would he appear? Surely not to the shepherds who aren't of very high esteem on the hillside. Certainly not in a stable of all places, in a manger, among the... That's not even fitting hardly for a servant. And yet the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it cannot be. We're looking for something greater than this. And so we're going to keep looking ahead. We're going to keep looking past, because it can't be the small things, like it can't be the trivial. But the Lord has chosen the foolish things of this world. The Lord has chosen the base things. It is the Lord's way. It's not through greatness. It's not through great show of the flesh. It's not what would appeal to the flesh. And it's the same for us today. The Lord's way is not a way that is appealing to the flesh. The Lord's way is not a way that is the most flashy or attractive way for the masses to follow. Yes. You know, you ever had somebody ask you, where do you go to service? Well, how many people go to service where you are? You ever felt a little twinge? You say, well, maybe 20, 30. What? Well, I'm used to 2,000. And what are you doing there? And they'll hear sometimes that I drive an hour to go to service. You do what? Why would you do that? Is there not a church close to you? Is there, surely you can go join, there's a mega church over here, and it's a happening place. It's something where, and again, I believe the flesh wants something that is flashy, that is appealing, that I can look at, and this is a happening place. There is not a substitute for the preaching of the cross. We can try to produce all kinds of programs and ministries and outreaches and all kinds of entertainment and things that might draw and attract people, that they would say, this is where I want to be. This is the place that is things are happening. This is the place that I want to be. But you know, I believe the Lord is still the same today. I believe the Lord is not looking and searching out for the great and mighty things, but He's looking for those who are humble and of a contrite heart. That's where I want to be. I want to be right in the midst of them. So let's not allow the enemy to discourage us. Let's not allow him to come and try to hinder or discourage us. Whenever, perhaps on a Wednesday night, it would, oh, there's just a few of us. Yes. Don't despise the day of small things. Amen. Don't lightly esteem the things that the Lord has chosen. The foolishness of preaching. The way of the cross. The Pharisees, because of looking for the great things, because of looking for that which the flesh would call meaningful, they missed the most meaningful thing of all. They missed, for looking for the great things, they missed the very Savior. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13 and 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Parables also given of the leaven, and the influence that a little bit of leaven is able to have as being the kingdom of heaven. Something that the world would look on and almost overlook, because they're looking for something greater. And yet something like this little grain of mustard seed that seems so insignificant and so trivial. You know, even those, whenever Jesus came again and they were looking for something greater, whenever he hung on the cross and they too despised him, despise the way of the cross. What is this? That has come to this? And all of his disciples had fled and deserted him, and it seemed like that it was coming to nothing. But Gamaliel, if you read of his counsel in the book of Acts, he was a man learned in the law, and he had enough wisdom to realize and be able to counsel the people. Be careful what you do with these men, the followers, the apostles of Christ. Be careful what you do with these men. If it's not of Christ, it'll pass away. It's happened before. Men have risen up and they've gone away, and it's kind of faded out over time. But if it's of God, you cannot stop it. You cannot hinder it. It wasn't but a short time that the disciples began going out and evangelizing and preaching the gospel, and that which they considered to be so meaningless, so pathetic, they then counseled or commented, I believe it was the men of the city with Jason, they looked out and said, these men which have turned the world upside down. You know, it's the way the kingdom of heaven is. It starts out so small, and so will every one of us. When the world looks on and to say, if you want greatness, this is the way to be great. And that is not only in the temporal realms of this world and climbing the corporate ladder or societal ladder or whatever the case might be, but it's also in religious things. That so many in the religious world would look to try to strive for greatness or recognition of who I am. If you want to be great, what did Jesus say? If you want to be the greatest, be like this little child over here. The child that the world so often would just overlook, would try and still today just brush off and put in the corner somewhere. You're to be seen and not heard. And then something so true. But Jesus said, become like this little child. Fashion yourself after this. Don't make yourself of greatness. Don't be looking and pursuing after great things for yourself. But be willing to make yourself. Let it be like this little seed that's planted, that's small, and let the Lord bring forth the greatness of it. The scripture says of that seed that a man cast it into the ground, and it's watered and so forth, and it bringeth forth fruit, he knoweth not how. He's not able to produce that. He's not able to go and force fruit in a tree to come forth. But you plant that little seed down in good soil, and you allow what the Lord has designed that seed to do, and the Lord will bring forth something that's mighty in our life. Oh, the world may not call it mighty. The world may still laugh and scoff and say it's trivial and meaningless, and surely you could do something more with your life. But my desire is to please the Lord and not this world. Think also of a prophecy of Daniel. Chapter 2 of Daniel, whenever he's talking of the kingdoms and the progression of those kingdoms and the overthrow of one after another, and it says in the days of those kings, the Lord would raise up another kingdom that's unlike all the others, speaking of the kingdom of God. And it speaks of a stone that is cut out of the mountain without hands. Sounds like it's something that's small and seemingly doesn't seem that noteworthy. But yet it says that that stone smote the image or smote the other nations, and it became something that was great that filled the whole earth. That's the way the working of the Lord is. It seems so small and so insignificant in the eyes of the world, and what the enemy would try to discourage us with. But if we'll put our eyes in the perspective of the Lord, the Lord looks at greatness in a different way. So I'd like to consider for a little bit our lives today. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I won't read all of this, but I love this 11th chapter of Hebrews, of the heroes of faith. It tells about one after another that should be an inspiration to us. That should be something that we, through these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. They're written for our learning, that the Lord was faithful unto these individuals. And there are so many that the names we know, and yet there were many others that were not even given the names of, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of aliens. Wow. Do you put yourself there? Are you one of that number? You know, it can seem like when I look at that, I'm no lion's mouth stopper. In my life, it seems like sometimes I live a pretty ordinary life. It seems like sometimes no great things happening in my life. Nothing real mighty or powerful. You ever... You ever been here too, where you get to Wednesday night prayer meeting, Lord, seems like not a whole lot going on in my, nothing. Lord, if you'd work a miracle in my life or just something real powerful and give me a powerful testimony here. You know, it can seem like when I read these stories, well, that's just them. That's just mighty men and women who were powerful, who did exceptional things, were exceptional people. You know, the scripture says here, out of weakness, they were made strong. You know, these were ordinary people. These were men and women just like you and I are. These weren't somebody who were, these were the exception. They were just born with a special ability and a special curse. No, out of weakness, they were made strong. Out of a weakness, they were able in their time of testing. And you know, we read here in this one chapter, the summary of so many hundreds of years of people's lives. How do you compress a life into just a short verse? How do you condense? There are just little tidbits that are given here of highlights of people's lives that the Lord was able to use them in a time of testing. It says we're able to shut the mouths of lions. I think, of course, of Daniel. You know, Daniel, when you read of the things that happened in his life, what a mighty man he was. A man of faith, a man of courage, one that I look to, that I draw encouragement from, that he didn't shirk from his love of the Lord. He didn't go and try to hide in a closet somewhere. That he had the courage to stand up and say to the king's servant there that, I don't want to eat the king's meat. I'm going to be true to my conviction, true to the Lord. To see how the Lord honored that in his life. To see how the Lord brought Daniel to a place that the king needed. He had a dream by night and he couldn't remember what it was. And they called for all the astrologers and the magicians and none of them were able to help him. They were the great. They were the mighty ones. They were the ones that were recognized far and wide for their wisdom and their knowledge and understanding. But there came a time where the greatness of this world was not enough. And they had to call, is there anybody? We've heard of this man, Daniel. He wasn't in the limelight perhaps all the time, but he was faithful to the Lord day in and day out, so that whenever there was a time of need, the Lord could call on him and say, Daniel, I need you now. And Daniel didn't have to go get on his knees and try to get ready with the Lord. Daniel didn't have to say, hold on, let me draw close to the Lord here for a few weeks. But Daniel had been in the place before the limelight was ever shown on Daniel. He had been in a walk with the Lord that he was prepared for that time, for that moment. So he was able to come and he was able to, by the Lord's help. Oh, he said, there is a God in heaven. Don't bring the glory to me. This is nothing about myself. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets unto men. Let me tell you about him. And he's been talking to me. Oh, thank the Lord that he wants to have that kind of walk and relationship with every one of us. We read of those stories and how he was exalted. And then we read the story of the lion's den. But you know, that is over the course of a long lifespan. You know, I don't actually haven't studied it for a little while. But the best that I remember, the time of Daniel's life that he was cast into the lion's den. He was an older man. Many years had passed since those early days that we read about. Under a new king now. And that time had come that he was again put to the test. Well, what happened in all those years in between? You know, every day wasn't the lion's den. Every day wasn't being called before the king to tell him of the king's dream. You know, I believe just like with probably all of us, he had quiet days, had just so-so days, and maybe nothing really going on kind of days. And you know, in those times we can be lulled into a sense of there's just nothing really going on. You know, the Lord wants to be able to trust us, not only for the great things, but don't despise the day of small things. Don't count that as little. Don't say, I'm just going to look for those times in my life where I too can rise up and be a Daniel. Well, it hadn't happened to me yet. I haven't had anybody call me to bow down before the gods of this world. So Well, that was just Daniel. No, are you being faithful? Am I being faithful in the small things of my life? Because the Lord has to be able to trust me with those small things. Don't despise the small things. Don't despise the ordinary days. Those days where it seems like I'm just nothing special. You know, how many times have we seen those that the Lord has used so mightily? And they come down to the end of their life and you hear them say, or you hear of a testimony, they wondered sometimes, did they do enough? Did they make any difference in their life? Seems like just not able to do enough. You know, the Lord wants us, that our eyes would be on Him. Doesn't want us to get into a place that I feel like I'm great and look at the great and mighty things that I've done. I remember thinking of those that said something like that. Lord, have we not done many mighty works in Your name? Mighty works. Done big things for You. I've done great and mighty things. And the Lord said, I never knew You. That's not what I'm after. You've strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. Thank You. You've become so focused on the big things that you've lost sight of what you thought was big. You've lost sight of what's really important, of what's really big and what my focus is on. You've lost sight of that. You haven't been faithful in those things. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, the story of the parables, or the parable of the talents, the pounds that were given. He called, verse 13, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. You know, we can look at sometimes what we have, what the Lord has placed in our hands, and say, it's nothing. I can't do anything with this. How do you expect me to, Lord, I want to do great things for You. I want to be able to move mountains and change nations. And I want to be able to do great and mighty things. And all I have is this one little pound that You've given me. Or 10 pounds. But He said, well done. You've been faithful in little. I've been able to trust You with what I did put into Your hands. And now that I've seen that I can trust You with that, I can trust You maybe with something greater now. But I've got to be able, You must be faithful in that that is little. Let no man despise thy youth. Oh Lord, help us that we would not allow the enemy to cast down in our minds what the Lord has given to us. What I have in my hands, Lord, help me to be faithful in that. Lord, help me not only to be faithful or to look for that day or to expect in the day whenever maybe I'd be called to be cast into the lion's den. Oh Lord, I'll be ready. I'll be ready for that. Is the Lord able to trust me in the slow days? When there's nothing really happening? When it's just the grind of life? Whenever it's just the day-to-day routine of life, it seems like nothing extraordinary, nothing special. Can the Lord trust me in that time? Lord, help us to guard ourselves even against boredom. Whenever it seems like there's nothing exciting going on, and I can start to fill my time out of boredom. Well, if there was something great going on, if there was something big and exciting happening, but the Lord wants to be able to trust, what are you doing with your time on those days? What are you doing? Can I trust you and depend on you in the small things to be faithful and trustworthy? Can the Lord trust us in the mundane? May the Lord help us that we not tonight despise the day of small things. The working of the Lord in our lives. The Lord wants to be able to use each one of us. And sometimes we may never see, we may never understand the impact that the Lord is able to do. What the Lord is able to do with the little bit that I give, with the little bit that I contribute. But what the Lord is able to do with somebody that is faithful, with somebody that is faithful to their little post of duty, that won't just close the doors and say, well, there's just a few of us. It seems like there's not really any use. Seems like there's not a whole lot of interest. Every one of us would love to see every pew here filled up. Well, it doesn't look like it's that way. Is there really any use? Is there really any use? And over, the mundane things of life, the reading my Bible and the praying and the having family worship together, and it seems like something so trivial, but Lord, help us to be faithful in the mundane. Help us to be faithful in the small things, in the day-to-day course of our lives. Because when we're faithful there, the Lord can then have us in a place. The scripture says, being in a place that we are prepared unto every good work, meet for the Master's use. He wants us to be in a place that through the course of our lives, in whatever small or great He allows to come our way, I've been faithful in those times, as Daniel was. However many years that was from that time where he gave the fulfillment of the dream and told the meaning of it. However many years that was that he lived his life, we know by those that observed him, he was considered and known to be a faithful man. There's nothing we can find fault with here. The only thing that we can go after is the love that he has for God. He's been living a faithful life, not in the spotlight. There aren't chapters written of his life in those in-between years. But in those in-between years was just as important as those moments, as those times where the Lord said, all right, now it's your time. Now is the time of testing. I've been preparing for you for this, all of these years, all of this time, up until this moment. But he had to be faithful. Weren't any books being written about him? Maybe he wasn't in the limelight. Maybe nobody noticing. If we work for the Lord for the great things, if we live for the Lord, looking for and expecting the great things, or to be recognized, the Lord said, you'll have your reward. But if you do that which is in secret, the small things, then the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And he's the one that's able to take just a few loaves and fish and make it into something so much more. So I pray tonight that we'll be encouraged and challenged not to despise, not to count as insignificant, as trivial, the day of small things. I'd like to add too, have you ever felt like before that you're helpless before a need? That you're helpless before a situation? You think, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do to change this. The only thing I can do is pray. Hold on. The only thing? Don't despise the day of small things. Don't count as trivial what the Lord puts, there's great power in. That I not get into a place that my faith is hindered, that I'm discouraged to think, well, there's nothing great I can do. But that I would be able to see what the Lord is able to do by small things. The Lord's able to bring down walled cities by those who will just silently obey Him day in, day out. Whether they see the results of it immediately or whether they don't. Whether I've been marching around these walls for day after day after day and wondering, Lord, will the answer ever come? And the old enemy comes along and starts to say, is that really all you can do? Is that really, you know, there's really something more you can do. There's something greater. You don't have to, don't let the Lord deceive you. Don't, that's so insignificant and so trivial. what do these feeble people think they're doing? Lord, help us that we have a picture of the greatness of God, that He wants to be able to work through a people that the world may look on and mock and laugh at and scorn and say, you're such a pathetic people. But to be able to let the Lord work through us as He has so many times, out of weakness, to be made strong, that we can join that cloud of witnesses who through the testing times, who through the exciting times, who through the troubling times, and through the mundane day-to-day, slow, everyday life kind of times, have been faithful unto God. You pray for me.